case number 11011, Susan S. Spencer, southwest of Road 363, Double Bridges Road, south of Wooded Way. A variance from the minimum lot width requirement.
Everybody, are you, you guys going to testify as well?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, come on up.
I'm the surveyor and these are the property.
Okay. If I can get your name and address first?
Yeah, my name's Maxwell Morris. I live on Bowie Street in Millville.
Okay. Come on. Yeah, in case you, he's got a question, it'll be easier that way. Please state your name and address.
Susan Spencer, 37236, whatever.
Okay. Will you all come up here? You raise your left hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to be sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Very well. And yourself?
Good. Good. My name is Maxwell Morris. I'm a land surveyor. I prepared the plan that's been turned in support of this variance request.
Thank you.
If you guys have had a chance to look at the drawing, basically what we're trying to do is revise the property line between tracks B and track C as shown on the survey. Spencers, Richard and Susan Spencer, own both tracks and are in the process of selling their property, moving back home to Virginia to be closer to their children. Now, as you can see from the survey, we've tried to make it clear what the situation is out there. There are two lines drawn between track B and track C on the survey drawing. The dashed line is where the current property line is located at. The solid line between track B and track C is where we would like to move the new line to. The reason for us wanting to move the line is fairly obvious. There are some serious encroachments of the driveway and the parking area for the house that's located on track C onto that upper right-hand corner of track B.
Okay.
Now, these encroachments have been in existence before the Spencers purchased the property. They were this property was originally one larger parcel of about 6 acres owned by one person. Mm-hmm. In 93, that individual subdivided the property into tract A, tract B, and tract C as it is now. And at that point, the obviously the encroachments then became a problem. The owner at that time, it, again, owned all three properties. So the encroachment of the driveway that serves track C and parking area that serves track C onto track B was not a problem at that time.
Okay.
In 1998, the Spencers bought track B and track C from the original property owner. And again, since they own both parcels, the encroachment, as we have shown on the survey here, again, was not an issue as they used both properties as one large piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the Spencers would like to sell, they feel now is the time to address the encroachment situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called me, asked me what we can do from the surveying and lot design perspective. I talked to the people at planning and zoning, and they informed me that we were in a conservation district and had some sort of additional requirements for lot size for lots located in the Area 1 zoning district. And that is a minimum lot size of 1 acre and a minimum lot width of 150 feet. So there's no way we could redesign the lots to meet those particular requirements. So my solution was to pivot the property line between B and C in the middle, moving the front corner into track B 65 feet, and the rear corner of track B, we move into track C 65 feet. So basically, we're doing an even exchange of property. What we're asking for to be subtracted from the front of track B, we're going to add into the rear of track B along the creek. What this does is eliminate all, if we're allowed to do this, move this property line as we suggested, this eliminates the encroachment situation that's been in place since 93 when these lots were originally created. It also creates a little more regularly shaped property of track C. The original property line, as you see the dashed line there, is at a pretty severe angle from the back to the front. It passes very close to the existing dwelling and cuts off a significant portion of their front yard and almost all their parking area and a portion of the driveway as it pulls in off of that private 50-foot road into the home.
Okay.
I think our solution is the best solution that we have out there. It's an even exchange. The reason to pivot the line was so that we didn't impact the area of track B. Being in the conservation district, we tried to maintain the 1 acre minimum area for track B. And again, the loss of the frontage along the road, we have mitigated by increasing the frontage along the creek for track B. So in terms of net area lost or gained, it's a zero sum. Neither lot is larger or smaller, it's just the frontage has changed. Now, I think we've met the intent of the regulation of maintaining the 150-foot lot width. We haven't been able to maintain it fully from the front to the back, but by pivoting the line in the middle, as I have done, the average lot width of track B remains 150 feet. It's narrower along the road, but wider along the back. So we've met the intent of the law, I feel, the 150-foot width, the 1 acre, without meeting the actual letter of the law. This solution, I believe, creates a much better shape for track C, where the existing home is, and does not, in my opinion, impact track B, the buildability of track B, or the attractiveness. Actually, I think it creates a slightly better lot, because track B has a little more frontage along the creek, along the water, which is what most people seem to want, it seems like. So if I might, that's in a nutshell what the story is. If I might address the standards very quickly, just to go over this to see if we do sort of fall within the realm here. I do feel that we do have a unique physical circumstance or shape of the lot. If you look at track C, the original property line, it's at a very severe angle and is nowhere parallel to the other side of the lot. By pivoting the line between B and C, we create a very regularly shaped track C. The two sidelines end up almost parallel. It doesn't, in my opinion, impact track B at all, because again, the loss of frontage is regained by the additional frontage along the creek. And obviously, when they build on track B, if the Spencers are lucky enough to be able to sell it and build on, find someone to buy it and then build on it, they're going to build in the back of the lot as close to the water as they possibly can, take advantage of the views. So I think that applies. Without the granting of the variance, I do feel there is an unnecessary hardship or exceptional practical difficulty in trying to take full advantage of this property as the current improvements exist. Again, the Spencers did not build the house. The Spencers did not put in the road. They did not put in the driveway or the parking area. They simply bought the property as it is, and now that they sell, they're trying to address the situation to make it to remove any impediments to the sale of the real estate. Is another point listed here under the standards is the variance necessary to enable reasonable use of the property? Yes, it is. We feel we cannot reshape the driveway or parking in any way to not encroach on track B, because of the location of the home and the garage as it is. You don't enter the garage from the top where the right-of-way is. You enter it from the side where the driveway is located at. So there's really no way to, without the variance, we can't eliminate the encroachment, we can't reshape the existing driveway or parking area to serve the house in any sort of reasonable fashion. Number three, not created by the applicant. That's exactly right. The Spencers bought the property as is, did not create the situation. They're only now trying to resolve the situation created by others. Four, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. Nothing is going to change out here. We're not trying to do another lot. We're not trying to build another house. We're simply trying to revise the property line between the two lots to make them more usable for the current owners. We will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. We just did that one, excuse me. The variance will not substantially or permanently impair the appropriate uses of the adjacent property. Parcel B is the adjacent property. Like I said, in my opinion, I think it creates a more usable property, a more desirable property, because of the increase of the frontage along the water. The variance will not be detrimental to the public welfare. These are two lots at the end of a private 50-foot road. The first time I went out there, I couldn't even find the property, so I'm not sure how the public would be adversely affected. The neighbors on the one side are a state park, and the neighbor on the other side are the existing neighboring lot. Number five, the minimum variance. The variance we're asking for is the minimum that will afford relief. I realize we're asking for 65 feet. That's a large number. But what that does is it eliminates all the encroachments from track C onto track B. And again, since we're increasing track B in the back by the same, we're subtracting off the front, I feel there's a wash there. The variance will represent the least modification possible for the regulation in this issue. Exactly. We're asking for as little as we can to rectify the situation out there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Richard, Susan, is there anything you'd like to add to
that? I mentioned that we are on public sewer.
On public sewer?
Yes.
Okay.
The property is served by sewer, but
yeah,
the water is not yet.
Ma'am, if you'd like to speak, would you come up front, please?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
I was just going to say that.
That's okay.
That we did go on public sewer,
okay,
when they put the sewer in on Double Bridges Road. We're off of Double Bridges Road.
Okay.
And that lot is as well.
Oh, and the extra, and our lot is as well.
Not worried, ma'am.
So I don't see where, except for the fact that there would be a well, if someone were to build a house and live there, but that would happen whether we had the variance or not.
Right.
So I don't really think that it's going to make any impact on the environment.
Okay. Thank you for that, ma'am.
We'll be glad to answer any questions you all might have about to.
All right. Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Mills?
No questions.
Mr. Hudson?
No.
Mr. Wortman?
No questions.
Mr. Rickards?
No questions.
Mr. Calloway? No questions. Hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Okay. We got one in the back. Thank you, sir.
I believe we have one up here as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have two then. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to make a motion that we take case number 11,011 under advisement.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Workman that we take case number 11,011 under advisement at this time. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Again, Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Workman? And Mr. Calloway? Aye. So by vote of 5-0, case number 11,011 has been taken under advisement. Now what that means, sir, your case may be heard here later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning after 9 o'clock. Okay.
That's what we'll do. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Case number 11.